It's Monday, July the 2nd, 2012. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, good evening and welcome to a long-awaited, perhaps, maybe not, but certainly a long-delayed podcast. I have not published a podcast for quite a while as I look at my little date here. Unless I've done something on another computer, which I don't think I have, it doesn't appear I've published a podcast since April 13th. So shame, shame on me. I have been remiss in podcasting, and tonight I was just thinking, goodness gracious, I haven't done a podcast in so long, I better publish one. So I'm going to share in this podcast some lessons learned from iPad Media Camp. And last week I had an opportunity in Yukon, Oklahoma to teach my first 3-day iPad Media Camp. So we're going to share some lessons learned there. I've brainstormed a few, but first I'm going to open it up with a recording that we made just at the very end of iPad Media Camp with two or three different participants who were brave and willing to share their thoughts to be recorded and posted online of just some of the takeaways that they had from iPad Media Camp. So before we do that, though, let me tell you, you can go to the website iPadMediaCamp.com and get more information, including the link to all of the curriculum that we use for all 3 days. So all the activities, you can see all our published work and just everything that we did. And you can click the curriculum link there at the top of the site, or you can go directly to wiki.ipadmediacamp.com. So without further ado, here are some of the takeaways from last week. And this was in June 2012. I need to get the exact date here. So the exact date when we wrapped up was on Wednesday, June 27th, 2012. It is June 27th, 2012. This is Wes Fryer in Yukon, Oklahoma. And for the last 3 days, we've been doing iPad Media Camp. And we've done some reflections at our tables, talking about our takeaways. And we're just going to take turns sharing a few of the things that participants have learned this week.
We are also very grateful for the opportunity to be with Dr. Fryer in this workshop. Some of the items we are taking away with us is creating QR codes for ease in students finding websites online, the hardware, mic cords, etc., that we will need to make our job easier. We loved Songify. Also, Explain Everything will allow for cooperative learning, ties in the writing process, and allow students to explain process used in their projects. Finally, we all love that all of the apps used make adaptation for differentiation of instruction possible. Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Chris Simon. One of the things I took away from this summer's camp was I was really interested in the iBook Creator. I want to make books a STEM textbook, really, for my classroom, so that when kids do have questions when we're building rockets, let's say, on how to make the parachute, they can refer to the book, and that way they don't have to ask three, then come to me, or simply ask me. They can refer back to the videos and pictures and texts that I have. This is how you build this part of your rocket. When you've got that done, you can move on. That was the thing I took away.
The thing I realized the most in this workshop is that I need to change my way of teaching, that I'm teaching a little bit with the dinosaurs, and that I need to make things more engaging and interesting and showcase kids using iMovies. I can't wait to do that. And the way that student learns is changing, but I'm very excited about the tutorials because I know I'll forget this stuff, and I'm going to go back and be able to look at it.
I'm going to create a blog, and I already created a YouTube channel for my class, and I'm excited about letting parents and other students actively participate in the assignments.
All right. Well, those were some of our takeaways. We're going to have other evaluation forms to fill out. I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed our second day the most. I just think video is so full of possibilities. I mean, it blows my mind. And it also just excites me to see the creativity of other people and to have that opportunity to think, wow, maybe we could do that. Maybe we could try that. So that was certainly my favorite day. So if you'd like to access resources from iPad Media Camp, you can go to iPadMediaCamp.com. You can click the curriculum link, and we'll continue to update resources. We'll be doing this again in July, and it'll probably be a little bit different. So if you've got any suggestions for how to make that different, I would love to hear about that, and let me know what you all create and you make, and we'll share that with others as well. Okay, well, those were some recordings from the end of iPad Media Camp, and what I'd like to do now is just reflect a little bit on a list of, I guess, about 15 different things that I put down here. I'll try not to be too verbose, but I always find it helpful to go ahead and reflect following a workshop, and it's good to look at evaluations and things like that, but then just also kind of take a look at what went well and what I would change. So first thing I'd say is that the table format worked really, really well for this particular workshop. It is great that iPads will last on a full charge like 8 hours. So we didn't really need any, you know, power strips. We didn't have electricity needs. We had reserved a computer lab, our professional development center in Yukon in the administration building, but ended up using our board room, which is just a really large room, and setting up round tables and allowing teachers to sit in groups, and that really, really worked well. Had everybody, you know, kind of brainstorm names for their groups using rock band names at the beginning, and got, you know, teachers working with each other, sometimes working in groups of two or three, and then sometimes in larger groups. But that format was awesome, and so I definitely am going to, if at all possible, not be in a computer lab for this, but instead, you know, be in an area where we've got round tables and we can have that kind of format. So we had the big projector and you know, had the audio speakers set up in the front. And that was good. And actually, something I guess I didn't write down, but I'll mention is the mirroring options worked really well. I used the Reflection app, which is a $15 software program that now does work on Windows as well as Mac computers. And it basically turns your computer into an Apple TV. That worked well. I did, for some of our recording apps, use the direct plug, which is the VGA adapter for the iPad, which goes from the iPad dock connector to the VGA connector. But overall, that was a real success. I was going to try and use the Air Server app, which is the one that Tony Vincent likes. And it's similarly, I think, about $15 for a software license, but didn't get to use it. But the table format was great, and it was really wonderful to be able to roam around the room, demonstrating things on the iPad and not just be tethered to the projector at the front. The next lesson learned was that two projects per day were excellent. If you take a look at the curriculum, particularly that I had for day one, I was a little overly optimistic with how much stuff we might be able to do. And so I had planned three different projects, but it really worked out well to do a project in the morning and a project in the afternoon. So I'm probably going to stick with that as a plan. On that note, I think the individual hands-on work is absolutely a must for this. And, you know, putting together the curriculum and the plan for this whole workshop, really, I drew heavily on my experiences working with Story Chasers and doing the Celebrate Oklahoma Voices workshop, Celebrate Kansas Voices, and Celebrate Texas Voices workshops. And those had been a 2.5-day, and then we had modified it to a 2-day workshop. But the most important part of that workshop, without a doubt, is the hands-on part where people are actually creating with their digital recorders and with their cameras, and in that case, either using the PhotoStory 3 program or the iMovie program to make a narrated slideshow. Well, in this case, you know, similarly, I think, without a doubt, the best time of learning was when teachers were hands-on, you know, creating ebooks, creating narrated slideshows, creating videos. And so it was wonderful for everybody to be able to do that individually And that's the heart of this camp. So if you're doing anything similar, I would definitely encourage you to make sure you have a strong hands-on component where teachers are individually creating products and projects. And, you know, it's just, it is not enough to say, let's do this as a group. For something like this, if teachers don't have a chance to do it themselves, create it themselves, then I really, you know, I think the case can be made that they're really not going to be learning that they need to do that themselves. So next lesson learned is that the Show Me app is a great one for a shared account. One of the things that you can link to on the curriculum site, if you're interested, is the Show Me channel that we created. And there are a bunch of different apps for creating narrated slideshows. I guess I should back up and let you know, if you haven't seen already, that the day one curriculum focuses really on screencasts and narrated slideshows. Day two is what I call quick edit video, and that was primarily using the iMovie application. And then day three focused on ebooks and interactive digital writing. There were two apps that we used on day one, and the first one was the free app called Show Me. And, it was wonderful to go ahead and create an account for the whole class to use. And I explained this isn't necessarily the way they would do this with students, depending on ages and situations. They would need to log in first on the iPads. You don't really want to ever give your credentials for any site, you know, away to students. But in this case, we had all 20 participants creating narrated slideshows in the morning and then publishing them using those credentials to the same channel. So that was extremely powerful, seeing how they could all be aggregated or collected on that same site, and just very, very happy with the Show Me app. Now, the second app we used in the afternoon was called Explain Everything, and that is definitely my favorite app currently for creating narrated slideshows. This has been on sale for $2.99 or $3. I think it is normally $4 or $5, and that's without the volume purchase discount that you can get if you're in the United States currently, because I think that's the only country that Apple extends that to. So anyway, it is not a free app, but really pleased with Show Me and how that worked out. I would also say that I was very pleased with the sequence for day two. Day two, again, focused on quick edit video. And so in the morning, I had teachers create a video that was just a short interview with one person asking a question, didn't have any themes, didn't have any text. It was just really a quick, you know, single shot. We trimmed, you know, video off the front and the end, but really just real quick, and how to create and then how to publish. And the big thing was we all created YouTube channels. Now, this past spring of 2012, UConn Public Schools opened up what's called YouTube EDU, which is a version of YouTube for education, open for everyone, open for students as well as teachers. The district also opened up the possibility, as part of the Google Apps for Education that UConn participates in, that is free. It does not cost anything to the school district to do this. One of the things that they turned on as a service was YouTube for teachers. And so this allows any teacher in the district to create a YouTube channel to which he or she can publish video content with videos up to 15 minutes long and publish an unlimited number of those. It is so amazing and incredible to have the opportunity now to publish video to a channel and to be able to do that directly from the iPad. So that was really a big deal, and I really liked the sequence in the morning of doing that fast video that didn't have bells and whistles, but we activated our channels, we created those, and we published to them before lunch. And then in the afternoon, we came back and did a little more advanced videos that we planned a little bit more. And we added the themes, we added some text captions, or what might be called a lower third caption, to the video. So love that sequence, and we'll definitely stick with that again on day two. I would say that I might need a better teaser description for day two. One of the feedback comments that I received from one of the first grade teachers that attended was that she really wasn't sure day two was something, you know, before she came, that would apply to her kids or be relevant. But afterwards, she was just so excited, you know, realizing how many things her students can express orally and the benefit of video, being able to, capture oral communication, both through narrated slideshows as well as the quick edit video. But I don't know that that quick edit video title was very descriptive for someone unfamiliar with video over the iPad. So I don't know. I'm going to try and search for some better ways to explain that perhaps. Next lesson learned was that the wiki curriculum that we used was definitely better than creating an iBook. Several weeks before, I presented and attended at a conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was a conference for indigenous archives and libraries for Native Americans, or as they would say in Canada, First Nations, not just in the United States, but all over the world. And I did a full-day workshop on digital storytelling. Well, I went ahead and started to create, for that particular workshop, a ebook in iBook Creator, which is Apple's free software program that came out in January of 2012 to create books that are either in two formats. The iBooks format that is only readable on the iPad, or in PDF. And while I'm very drawn by that format, for the iPad Media Camp, it was superb and phenomenal to be using a wiki curriculum. I am so glad that I did not try and create an iBook for this curriculum, but instead used the wiki, and I used a Google site, as I do for a lot of the wikis that I create now. And the reason that was such a big deal is because I was able to model what I consider to be a best practice for teacher curriculum for students, and that is putting it on an accessible website that can be, accessed from any web browser. And, we added different links. Many of the teachers there had never seen a Google form in action. And so, we used some Google forms during the workshop to get feedback and to have teachers share things. It just was really excellent. And one of the things we did on day one was create a home button on the iPad that immediately went to our curriculum page so teachers could access it that way. And again, that's modeling a best practice of saying, if your kids are using iPads, if they're on the card, if they're checking them out themselves, showing them a quick way to get to your curriculum, your information portal, is really a powerful and positive thing. Because one of the last things we want to do with students is have them typing in long web addresses and URLs. So also modeled QR codes, and I didn't write that down, but that was something you heard one of the participants mention, and it definitely was really strong. I mean, experiencing the power of there's a QR code, I just scanned it on my iPad, now I'm on the website. That's really a powerful thing. And I had seen QR codes and used them and made them before, but it really wasn't until the Mobile 2012 conference in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was that I was able to attend this past April, that I really saw a lot of presenters effectively using QR codes and got, even more energized to use those, especially in mobile contexts like places where we've got students with iPads. Next, lesson learned had to do with microphones. In fact, I'm using one right now. I'm using an iRig microphone. We had 6 iRig microphones at our disposal to use. I was able to borrow 5 from Story Chasers, which had purchased those last year to help out with different oral history projects that folks in Oklahoma and some other states are doing. And wow, it makes such a huge difference to have that high quality audio. So if you're doing one of these, I strongly, strongly recommend that you get a hold of multiple external microphones. I also was able to utilize a couple other mic options, and I put those onto our wiki. If you go to the website wiki.ipadmediacamp.com, and you're going to click in the sidebar the link for June 2012. And I don't know when you'll be listening to this, or it's going to be another one for July, and hopefully other versions of this. But if you click under resources, the first resource we've got are different microphone options for iPad. The first is the iRig, which is a $60 external microphone. But the other one, this is the first time I got to use it, was Tascam's IXZ adapter for professional XLR mics. And so that was kind of neat because I have a, it's about a 50, $60 Shure PG58 stage microphone. And an XLR mic is the kind of mic that you'll have in your auditorium. It's a professional audio mic. And so what this allows you to do, this IXZ adapter, is it plugs directly into the headphone jack, just like the iRig does. But it runs on two AA batteries, and it lets you plug your XLR mic right into it. So it even supports phantom power, which is just basically power over the wire that some of the fancier mics require. And that was a success also, and got to use that and allow some other folks to use that as well. The one disappointment, I used the camera connection kit, or I made that available for some teachers, and the mic that we were using just did not have enough audio oomph. And so it was really quiet, and that one didn't work very well. I'd like to use that again with a Snowball mic or another microphone and see how that works, because the camera connection kit does have a USB connection so that you can hook up a lot of different kinds of mics. So takeaway there is definitely include external microphones as an option for your participants. That was really enjoyed by our participants, and some of the videos that we created, I know, were so much better because of that. Next lesson learned was that Posturus was a wonderful turn-in platform and sharing platform. I created the website for free, of course, ipadmediacamp.posturus.com. And you can see the creations of our participants in June 2012 there, if you go now. And if you go later, you may see others from other media camps. I think I'm going to continue just to use that same site. But we had 51 different posts, and those included our narrated slideshows. They included our videos we made, the ebooks we made. And again, it was just great to model the way in which teachers can use a free Posturus site to have students email content and then moderate it and approve it before it goes live. And so that was fantastic. On that note, you know, filtering is so incredibly huge. And we've got lots and lots of school districts in the United States today that continue to filter the web in what I would call a draconian way. And we definitely need web filtering. We have to have it in the United States by law. But my position is we need balanced filtering. And so it was wonderful to be in a school district that is enlightened when it comes to content filtering, like UConn Public Schools in Oklahoma. And it was also wonderful to have the ability to bypass the content filter. And that's one of the things that's possible in UConn, because they use Lightspeed as their content filter. And so every teacher in the district has their login credential and the ability to directly bypass the filter for up to 2 hours. And so there were different sites that we needed to do that for. The most important one probably was YouTube. Even though we can get to the YouTube EDU site, in order to sign up for a YouTube teacher channel, we had to bypass the filter and do that. So that was wonderful, and highly recommend every school district provide that capability for teachers. And it's certainly great to be able to have that as a workshop presenter to bypass the filter when needed. Two more lessons learned. The number 20 was a good number. We had originally, I think, opened it up to have about 30 folks, but worked out really good to have 20. And last lesson learned was that student assistance can be wonderful. My son was able to come and assist. He's going to be starting into the ninth grade this year, and he assisted on day two when we were doing our quick edit video. And hopefully in July I'll be able to convince one or both of my daughters to help out with that workshop. It is really, really fun to teach with my kids. And I think it can add so much for the teachers as well to have student input. Some of the teachers interviewed Alexander for the videos that they did. He did a great job sitting just down next to teachers and answering questions. And, you know, even though you're flowing around and facilitating and walking around, you know, it's nothing beats being able to have someone right there sitting down patiently, you know, answering your questions. Alexander did a great job letting the teachers drive their iPads. In other words, you know, he didn't come up there and touch and do. He was helping coach them along. And so that was wonderful. So those are some lessons learned from iPad Media Camp. If you are interested in having an iPad Media Camp for your school, your school district, your education service center or service unit, or for your conference, I would love to help with that. So you can find contact information for me on iPadMediaCamp.com by just clicking the contact link. You can always follow me on Twitter, and I am W Fryer, W-F-R-Y-E-R on Twitter. And you can also just Google my name, and you'll find a contact link where you can contact me by email, by phone, or Twitter is always a good way to contact me as well if you're on Twitter. So hopefully that has been helpful to you. I will do my best to not have such a long period of pod fading. I've got a few good excuses. I was offline for about 2 weeks in the month of June following the Camp Plug and Play in Tucson and on a backpacking trip with my son in New Mexico, which really, really was great. But anyway, it was good to have iPad Media Camp after we got back, and I look forward to continuing to help more and more teachers play with media. And I guess I'll close with that. If you have not checked out my ebook before, it is Playing with Media, Simple Ideas for Powerful Sharing, and you can find that by either Googling Playing with Media or just going to the website, playingwithmedia.com. So, wherever you happen to find yourself in time and space, whether you're in the winter in the Southern Hemisphere or you're in our hot summer that we're having here in the middle of the North American continent, wherever you happen to be, I hope you are having a wonderful July and wish you the best and would love to hear from you as you play with media and especially as you empower your students to become better multimedia communicators in the 21st century.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.